want you to give a hand to Pastor Jankor Brink. He's visiting us from Stellenbosch, where our head office is. And you know, when I many times when I have a visiting pastor who's also a friend, I think like, what will I say just to introduce this person? Now I can say Jankor, or Pastor Jankor, or Dr. Jankor maybe. He's our regional director. That means he supervises and pastors and like a father figure to the two shofar congregations here in Namibia, which is Windhoek and Swakopmund. But, you know, I know Jankor for more than 10 years. Pastor Jankor, he baptized me in 2002, way back. And since then, we have gone through many seasons. We've walked through many seasons together. And Jankor, it's just a privilege to have you here this morning. It's just great to have you here and to listen to what you want to share. Just to spend time with a fellow pastor and a friend in that sense. Also know what you've imparted in my life, but I just want to pray for him as well this morning. Father, we just want to open our hearts this morning, Lord, for what you want to do in our midst here as a church, as a congregation, Lord. Thank you that we aren't here as numbers, Lord God, but that you know each of us personally. Father, I just want to receive Pastor Jankor here this morning, Lord. He's a brother, Lord God. He's a fellow worker, Lord God. And we just honor him this morning, Father, and we open our hearts to the word and the ministry that you want to do for him, Lord God. And also tomorrow, Lord God, when him and his family are leaving for South Africa again, Father, that your hand will be with them, Lord God, that the wind will be in their sails, that they will travel safely, Lord God. And where he's part of the apostolic team, Lord, that you'll bless them in the work that they do, in the leadership they provide for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Carl. Now, things have changed quite a lot in 10 years. Last night we tried to eat together, but with his three kids, my three kids, and fourth one on his way, the career time is just not the same anymore with all the kids. We had a good time, and we always feel welcome in here. Now, maybe I told the Afrikaans group also, I'm sometimes getting in trouble in Stellenbosch when I say our, you know, because of we, because then they ask me, who's the we? Is it now Stellenbosch? Is it Namibia? And a lot of the times it is Namibia. So I get in trouble because I'm a bit biased when it comes to Namibia. It's also, this afternoon I will be giving some accountant training here. And of all the churches outside of Stellenbosch, you're obviously the first, you know. So I'm always a bit biased when it comes to Windhoek. But it's really great to be here. I'm going to talk to you about a new chapter. And I've got a book here, just so that you can remember the picture. But you all know, as you grow, it's like a next page that you add to your, how can I put it, life, the book of life in your own case. And for us to move to the next chapter is quite important, because God likes it when we grow, and it's important that we always grow. But sometimes we get to a place where we might actually stay on that page too long. You know, how do you know you're on the same page too long? Now, obviously in a book it will become yellow, you know, it won't turn anymore and something like that. And sometimes we're the same in our own life. It's like that page is getting very, very heavy. You don't know how to turn it. Now, how do you know you need a new, or you need a page to turn in your life? It is very simple. When you have quiet time and it's like there's nothing refreshing happening between you and God, or not necessarily just refreshing, but it's not intimate. You know there was times of intimacy, but it's like it's starting to fade away. Now, when it starts to fade away, it's like the page is getting a bit older. You know something, you need something new in your life. And another way is, even like this morning when we sing the oh ho 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 ho, you can only sing ho 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 so long. You know, something needs to happen in your spirit, where you sing a new song to God that comes from your spirit. But to get to that new song, there must be something new in your heart. Are you with me? So my desire is that by the end of the day, we all have the keys how to turn this page in your life, how to get to the next chapter. Let me read to you 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now, the fact that the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, it's talking about the spirit, okay? So it's not a spirit of fear. So if it's not a spirit of fear, he wants us to have a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of sound mind. Now, I know if you're in school, a lot of times you pray for that spirit of sound mind. God, what will be the exam papers? You know, that would be a spirit of sound mind. You know, I can maybe just quickly, it's not my moment, should I pick another story? Because I'm afraid I'm going to encourage you not to study. Which one will I take? I had so many. Carl didn't joke, I am actually a doctor. I've got a PhD in science. So I had to study quite a lot. But let me tell you this. When I think of the older ones will know the story. But I once had to write biochemistry at the university. And my chemistry part of my brain somehow died or something. And so it wasn't that good. I hated biochemistry. But it was one of those chapters in life I had to finish. So anyway, I really tried to study. I tried to study hard. But at some stage, I just said to God, God, I don't want to be funny, but this is not happening at all. This is 4 chapters, and it's not happening. And I remember biochemistry were deurlopend, continuous. And so I needed something like 60% to pass with the last exam. So I said to God, I really don't understand. I don't have a clue what's in this. It's like everything is just, it's a blank. Anyway, so I prayed to God. I said, what should I do? And he told me, go to your lecturer and ask him, you want the, I think it was the year 2000. You want that year's specific month old exam paper. But I was like saying to God, God, but you know, we can't, they don't give us papers. You can't keep the papers. So it's one of those rules. So God still said to me, but go to the lectures, just say you want it. So it's against the rules. You cannot take a paper outside of the classroom. So I went to him and I said, I want that year exam paper. And he looked at me and he said, but you may not take the paper outside. So I said to him, but that's fine, I will work it through here in your office. And he looked at me, he was like, oh, that's not against the rules. And he gave it to me, and it was one of those Vielkiese, what is that, multi-choice exam papers. And so I started studying it in his presence, and I knew everything about him afterwards, who's his grandmother and grandfather and the whole story. And so I was basically studying what is the right answer, or sometimes some of the multi-choice were none of above, you know. So I even studied when it is none of above, you know. And at some stage, about after 3 hours, now this is the day before the exam, about after 3 hours, I asked the lecturer, now will all of this at least help me? And he looked at me and said, you must be really stupid if it's not going to help you. Anyway, so the next day came in of the exam, and guess what? It was exactly the same paper. And I needed 60% to pass, but I got 115% because there was 15% bonus points in the whole thing. So till this today, I still don't have a cooking clue what's going on at biochemistry, but I can probably say none of above. Or, you know, it's B, yeah, stuff like that. But anyway, so I can't even remember why I told this story now. But anyway, oh, that's the spirit of sound mind. You want the spirit of sound mind. You know, if you grow, the more mature you get, one of the places for maturity is you don't panic in God's presence because you don't have a spirit of fear. Okay? But you have a spirit of sound mind, of power, and of love. Now, it's the same of how do you know you're in a good chapter or that you need to change? It's when there's no spirit of power also. You know, when you pray for something and it happens, you know, it's good. Those that's in intercession, your intercession group here will probably, hopefully know that the things that you pray for is the things that happen. It means there's a spirit of power in your life. So that is my desire on the end of the day. I want to see everyone with the spirit of power, of love, and of sound mind. But let me also read to you Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely your goodness, that's now God's goodness, surely your goodness and love, mercy, or favor will follow, pursue, or chase me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, this is quite important. As we can see, God's heart is that His goodness and His favor will follow you, or like it will chase you. Now, the same word that's used there is the same as when we talk about the dog chasing a car. Okay, that's that type of chase. So God's goodness wants to grab you. His favor wants to grab you. The problem is, it's the same with dogs and the car. If the car stands still, if you've ever seen a dog chasing a still standing car, it's just not the same, you know. I think there's no fun in it. So, and I think the same with God, He enjoys it if His goodness and favor can chase you. Now, a lot of people, again, don't experience God's goodness and favor chasing them because they're also not moving. Are you with me? They're like a car that's parked, and it's because they're not turning the pages in their lives, okay? So that's my desire. Also, I want to see all of us go to that place. Now, one of the first things that we will usually hear, but what about God's grace? Should I therefore strive or do something? And that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm also saying is what you can read in James 4, verse 6. But He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, when it comes to grace, it is the same. You can't do anything to deserve God's grace. Grace is for free for everyone, okay? So, and you know, all know what grace means. It's like an unfair advantage. That's basically, if you say God's grace, it means you didn't even deserve this, but God gave it to you. Okay? That's grace. Now, but the Bible also says God resists the proud. It means so you can't do anything to deserve grace, but you can disqualify yourself. Are you with me? If there's pride, if you're proud, you can resist this. And this again, that's why every person sitting here always must have a desire to grow, to turn the next page. If you think, oh no, I don't need this, I'm okay, it also means you're resisting God's grace. Okay. Then I want to quickly go through a very familiar story with you. You all know the story of the fish and the bread, eh? The previous group, I tried to do the, just say amen. But they didn't want to do the amen thing. I don't know why. Maybe in this group, I must do the put up your hand thing. You all know the story of the fish and the bread? Yeah. Oh, we get both. Yeah, yes. It's the goodness and the favor chasing us here this morning. That's good. This is good. Anyway, so you've all also probably heard the whole story of the little boy bringing the little that he has. Okay? You all know the story. You've heard the sermon. Okay. I want you to think about the story a bit different today. I want you to look it from the eyes of the little boy. The fact that the Bible calls him a lad in this translation means he was a boy. It means he was younger than 12 years old. Okay? Now, you all need to think back about the time that you were 12. Who's the youngest here? Who's the youngest? Anyone? Frida, they're picking on you, but how old are Frida? How old are you? You're 14 years now. It's even 2 years older than this boy then, at least. Now, it's now in Namibian time, 11 o'clock, eh? But last week was still 12 o'clock for you. Who of you are hungry as you're sitting here? No, dear, at the back, most of the guys will say they're hungry. Okay, it's a guy thing, maybe. Who of the guys are hungry? And some of the guys struggling here to decide if they're guys or something. Anyway, we can see in the end of the story that everyone there was hungry. Okay? Now, the chances is good the boy was also hungry. So he had his food with him, while the rest were hungry. Now, why didn't he already eaten his food? I mean, his mother gave it to him. He had all this food with him. Why didn't he eat it himself? If I was 12 years old and there was 1,000 people around me and they're all hungry, Are you with me? You must see yourself in this boy's shoes. If it was me, I probably wouldn't have taken the food out at all. Because someone might see it, and I have to share it. You know, that would have been me. Now, I think the chances is good. Same happened here. That's why he still had his food. So, now I want to bring it back. When we say the boy gave his food, was it little to him? It was everything. If you take food away from a child, especially a young growing boy, and remember, it's not like they say they took some of his food. Are you with me? They took everything. So, one of the keys to go to the next chapter in your life is actually to get to a place where you can, where you give everything. What we sometimes do, and it's a wrong message actually to say to people, bring the little that you have. It's not the fact that it's little, it's the fact that it's everything. Are you with me? So that's, when you come to God, don't tip him and expect a miracle. You see, the miracle happened because the boy gave it all. That's why the whole miracle happened. I'm sure if they gave just a little bit, it wouldn't happen. Because this is where how God looks at things. So, let me read to you also 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31 to 36. I protest, brothers, my pride in you, which I have in Christ our Lord. I die every day. You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Now, here's one of those keys. You can't live before you die. There's something in your life as you're sitting here that God wants, but he wants everything of it, but he also wants something in your life to die so that you can live. Are you with me? Hopefully by the end of the day you will know what it is. Same Colossians 1 verse 28 to 29. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For in this I told struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So again, we're all growing. We always must turn the pages. Philippians 1 verse 6. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Again, we're growing, going to the end of that book of yours. And then also Romans 2 verse 4. Or do you presume on the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that God's goodness is meant to lead you to repentance? Now, I've seen this so many times. If you just quickly ask yourself, what is the thing that usually make you repent? Just looking at your own life quickly. What makes you get to that place of repentance? We can see God, in God's case, it's God's goodness that leads to repentance. I can tell you, if you're in the same page for too long, it is the devil's guilt that wants to make get you to repentance, and not God's goodness. Do you understand that? When there's refreshment in your life, when things happen, and God's goodness and favor is chasing you, it's his goodness. Some translation says kindness, but kindness is, my English is not that well, but the word kindness, it sounds like you just need to be friendly, but it's not his friendliness is following you or leading you to repent. It's his goodness. You know, goodness is not always a nice feeling experience also. Yeah, with me. So it's God's goodness that leads to repentance. And this is really important, because if you are always just feeling guilty about something, then ask God's forgiveness, it means you're not experiencing God's goodness. Okay. Let me quickly read also this to you as confirmation. Mark 12, verse 20, 43 to 44. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Again, you see, it's not about how much you give, it's the fact of, do you give all or are you tipping God? Are you with me? Just quickly, you realize I'm not talking about money today here. I'm talking about the heart. You know, I'm not saying here to come and give all your money. Please don't do that. except if God say it to you. But that's not the message. Matthew 26, verse 39. No, just the other day on Sunday in Swakopmund, I saw that taking up the offering. So the guy taking up the offering came to some of the youth, and they was like, I was like, goodness. I was like, I felt guilty, you know. I wanted to throw everything in. But we don't throw in because you feel guilty. Are you with me? You know, I nearly wanted to tackle the guy there, but I felt I'm the guest speaker here. I must show God's goodness here today. But hopefully someone will speak to that guy. I actually did tell the pastor to please just correct that. The poor youth, they could see they were sitting there with eyes like that. They were quickly, I saw the next row, they were giving money to one another. It's like, yeah, you just take them. What is that? What is in Namibia, the small silver one? Is that the 5 cents? I saw they were giving 5 cents away. Just throw in something. So with God, it isn't about just throwing something, okay? It's about when you give everything within your heart. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Matthew 26, verse 39. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Now, this is before Jesus was crucified, and you can see even Jesus had to die so that we can live. Okay, it's the same principle. It's one of those funny things it's one of those mysterious things of the word. For you to live, you need to die. You know, for you to stand out as a leader one day, you need to be a servant. Okay, that's one of those things that God just created like. Now, the same it is to explain to you just this whole dying thing. Imagine you all go back to where you came from today. And what was the sermon about? Now he said we must die. You know? But it's pretty much something in that line. The rich man came to Jesus and said, "What can I do?" Basically was saying, "What can I do to go to the next chapter?" Okay, that was basically what he said. And Jesus said to him, "Go and sell everything." What was the thing he had to die to? It was his idol for money. Are you with me? The same it is Nicodemus. He was the guy that he saw the whole multiplication of the fish and the bread. And then he went to Jesus and said, "Also, how can I get into heaven?" And God said to him, "Only if you get born again." Now, it freaked him out. The problem was Nicodemus was a very intellectual type guy. He wanted to figure God out always with his brain. So first of all, he saw this whole miracle of the fish and the bread, and that already freaked him out, because how did it happen? Now, the cells in the fish, did they multiply? You know, I've always wondered also if it was breaking. Now, how did it break? What happened there? You know, did the fish still add graten in? You know, was it graadvrij? What is it, graden in English? What?
Jy het gesê wings, what?
What's graden in English? No, it can't be bones. Fish bones. Is it fish bones? Who's the English person here? Why are we talking English if the English people can't answer me? What is the ecosystem? What do you say? The echo in a fish? Do you talk about fish bones? But anyway, you get the idea. You know, when Jesus, I wonder if there was still some fish bones in. Anyway, so Nicodemus is standing there, and Jesus is saying to him, "You need to get born again." What in him had to die? His intellect. Are you with me? So every time when you go to the next chapter, something first needs to die. Okay, and that's what you want to hear from God. The same with the Israelites, when they went through the desert, they always complained about they still want the meat and stuff in Egypt. So that idol in their lives had to die. There's many examples of the Israelites. The same with Abraham. Why did God actually want Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? The Bible actually doesn't say it. Obviously, it was testing him, okay? God always tests us. The Bible says, examine yourself. the chances is, it's not in the Bible, so don't quote me on this, but I think the chances is good because Abraham only had one son, and remember, he got him very late. The chances is good he actually also made an idol of his son. Are you with me? First, I had to die in that, and he had to trust in God. The same it is with Peter. Peter said, God, Jesus, I will never deny you. Obviously, he did it. What had to die in him? That pride. Okay, that thing of I can stand. You know, so in every time in your life, there's a place of something I need to die. And if I can see a pattern in the Bible, and again, it's not a new doctrine or something, but what I'm just seeing or observing is that there's usually, before a new chapter, there's first death. And then it's God's goodness, then it's repentance, and then it's a new chapter. Are you with me? So something first needs to die before you also experience God's goodness. So if in your prayer life, and when you, even in your quiet time, you know, tonight or tomorrow morning, the thing that you want to hear from God is, God, what in me needs to die? And as I've just showed you here, it's not necessarily sin. A lot of times the devil want to even distract you with sin. The thing that needs to die is maybe that thing that you idol, not necessarily the thing that you do wrong. Are you all with me? Otherwise, the devil is distracting you, and he's telling you, you're not good enough for the next chapter. But that's not what God's saying. God wants to chase, his goodness wants to chase you. Okay, so the thing that needs to die is probably something that you idolize in your life. Okay, does it make sense? Now's the time for the hands or amen or thank you, you know. Otherwise, I have to go back to stand up sports and say, no, those people didn't want to listen, you know. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42 to 43. So it is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is shown in weakness. It is raised in power. You see again that mystery of God? It is like when in weakness it dies, in glory and in power it raised. Okay, so with God, it's always like, it seems like an opposite type of thing. For you to live, you need to die. Okay, Luke 7, verse 8 to 9. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at me, and turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Now, what I found amazing about this part is the fact that obviously this person understood. The centurion understood authority, okay? But then Jesus says, nowhere I've seen such faith. I always say, if you read the word faith, you can just as well put in there in brackets, relationship with God and in right standing. That's pretty much my own definition of faith. But it's basically, so God is saying, yeah, I've nowhere in Israel seen someone whose relationship with God or his understanding of God is that good. Now, Jesus could have rather said, wow, what an understanding of the kingdom. Or, wow, look at his obedience. Or maybe look at his humility. But no, he said, look at his faith. Are you with me? And this is the second key I want you to get, is that to understand authority is important because it's showing something of your relationship with God. Let me put it different. If you struggle to trust leadership or authority, now this is not just Carl, this is also your headmaster, also your teacher, also your parents. If you struggle to trust them, it means you've got a problem in your relationship with God. Let me explain a bit better. How do you know this healing between you or your, let's say, issue with, let's say, your parents? is only the day that you can say to God, of all the parents you could have given me, you've given me the best parents. Now, just quickly listen or focus here. This means your parents might be really the worst people. But the reality is God gave you those parents. So if there's someone at you that you're actually angry to, it's actually God. Are you with me? Now, you might have a problem with your parents and think there's no problem between you and your and God, but actually there is. So only, and I'm going to say this again, only if you can say to God, God, of all the parents, of all the pastors that you could have gave me, you gave me the best. Before that, there's still an unresolved issue between you and God. Not you and the pastor, not you and your parents, not you and your teacher. Does that make sense? Just give me an indication, does it make sense? Who doesn't, is there anyone that it doesn't make sense? Anyone? So, because remember, because God gave us this authority, okay? And remember, God is good. God is love. So, He had a reason for giving us those leadership, okay? At the same time, I also want to say to you, don't just think, okay, I'm forgiving my parents. And now everything is right. Who of you know everything isn't right then? You know, by just saying, oh, I forgive my pastor for being nasty to me. Or my teacher. Now, the person you actually first want to talk to is God. You want to say to God, God, I'm so angry at this leader. But you say, you've given me this leader. So I want to make right with you. You actually want to wrestle with God. Why did you give me this parents? Why did you give me this pastor? Why did you give me this teacher? And I know not all leadership are good. Are you with me? So, but it's something about you and your faith with God. Okay. If you can go to that graph. I want to show you quickly a graph. Can you all see it? Is there anyone that's colorblind? Any color-blinded people? It is an amen there. Should everyone be color-blinded? Anyway, this, like in the middle is the red. Now, what is this? It's Bell's curve. It's just a curve that does that. And what it basically means here is that in psychology, we would say most people is in the red. And because most people are there, the world will say they're normal. But the more you get to the sides, psychology will say you're abnormal. Okay, does it make sense? I will come back to you. Now, in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So the Bible says, if you can go back to the graph, it says we mustn't be red. Are you with me? We should be blue at least, but more there to the... The world must actually think we're crazy. We're abnormal. Now, when we think about something like I just talked about, authority, the way we see at our leaders, you see, it's okay for that person in your class that don't know the Lord to say bad things of your teacher, but guess what? You're not going to do it. Even if the teacher was unfair. Because we're not normal. Are you with me? God expects us not to be conformed to this world. The way the world looks at leadership is not the way we're going to look at them. Are you with me? And that doesn't mean we deny the fact that there's problems. Okay? But I will tell you just now, how do you help your leader even? But the same it is, you know, you will find today there's more and more discussion around things that should become more normal according to the world. Whether it is marriage, you know, stuff like homosexuality, abortion, and then one that probably a lot of you are confronting also with something like evolution. You know, the world all the time says, but this is normal. This is normal. Now, it's very easy for you as a Christian to think, well, maybe it is normal. you know. Potty, potty, or that people don't call you potty, Johan. Do you have internet here? Can you quickly show a picture of a Google prokaryote? You could first Google simple cell, and it will give you an option of prokaryote. Have you ever, you've learned in your school about evolution, about a simple cell? Have you ever seen a simple cell? A simple cell is not that simple at all. You know, have you ever seen a simple, the things that happen in a simple cell is very complex. Ask your teacher to try and explain to you what happens in a simple cell. He won't be able to. You know, so I always find this very fascinating, because something happened and some rocks decided we want to become a simple cell. So then they became a simple cell, which is not that simple at all. You know, if you could look, I don't know if you will find quickly enough, but if you could Google prokaryote, and then I said prokaryote in English, the pro even means it's before, you know, it is before a cell. So you can go and Google it yourself. But go and look, a simple cell isn't that simple at all. Even I know, looking sometimes in your books, it shows a simple cell, but rather go and Google it. A simple cell, you will even have like a tail on that simple cell, and there's a lot of things happening between and that membranes. Anyway, so something happened, and these rocks decided we want to become a simple cell, and then this simple cell was decided at some stage that I want to become a plant and you become an animal. And then at some stage, these next new simple cells decided, I don't think we should like be the same, you know, maybe you should become an elephant and you become a whale. And then there's some stage they decided, this whole thing is totally too simple, maybe there should be a male and a female. So now you're going to become a male and I will become a female. And they tell say we are funny. Are you with me? You know, you need to have a lot of faith to believe that two rocks decided together, I'm going to become this and you're going to become that. Okay? But that's just for free. That's for, you can tell it's from a doctor. Okay. So something that I want to talk to quickly. Joshua. No, I'm going to skip that also. I want to quickly read to you 1 Kings 19 verse 19 to 21. So it's a story about between Elisha and Elijah. And basically what happened, the one came to the other one, he wanted him to follow him, and he threw his clothes over him. And what then happened, Elijah, decided, now he was plowing the soil with 12 ox there. And he decided, okay, I'm just going to follow this new guy and I'm going to sacrifice these 12 oxen to God. Now, in today's term, it would be if your dad were a farmer, it would mean you were now sitting on a tractor, plowing the soil. Now, a tractor is quite expensive. And here comes basically God and says, follow me. And you say, okay, I'm just going to quickly tell my parents I'm going now. And then I'm going to burn up this whole tractor as a sacrifice to God. Now, what I found amazing there is the fact of his passion and the fact that he wanted to give it all. Are you with me? That's why I'm just showing that whole story, is that place of giving it all. We should be like that. Now, what we sometimes do, especially if you're too intellectual, you want to figure it all out. Say, no, what am I going to do with the ox? You know, this is too much sums that I need to make. Should I go now, tomorrow? You know, what will my parents say? All those things. But there's actually a place where you just give it all, you know, where you die to self. Okay. And then there's just the last thing I want to, how many married people are here now? No, there's only guys, married guys. Oh, there's at the back. oh, then I have to look only at you now. It's like, it's there, the other married person are walking out now. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 24, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, for you that's not married yet, the world say to us that women should have equal rights. They should have a say in all of this. This is not fair. You know? What is the Bible teaching us? That wives should submit to their husbands as the church submit to Christ. Now, I'm just going to quickly make this very practical, and then I'm going to tell you a small, short story. If Christ is saying to the church, I want a new church in India, guess what will the church say? Yes and amen. Now, is that equal rights? How does the equal rights between the church and God looks like? You get where I'm trying to go. Obviously, you only submit to authority, right? Equal rights is still equal rights in a class, and you know, don't let the boys now tell you, did you hear that? You know? Then you need to say to the boy, but you're not my husband. Okay? You get what I'm saying. So, but at the same time, I also want to say to you now, you know, I said to the previous group, just let me quickly see, how many minutes do we have? No minutes anymore. Okay, we will end off. But just the last thing that I will say. How do you change authority? Or how do you change one day your husband? The same way God changes you. And that is through goodness. Amen? So the way you're going to try and change your leadership is not by putting pressure on him or making him feel guilty. Never try to make your husband one day feel guilty or put pressure on him. Rather, get him to change him through your goodness. I said in a previous group, that is something that my wife gets right. She doesn't try to change me, but her goodness gets me to a place where I want to change. Amen. So I want to give you that as a tip, and I want you to remember this. Never get to a place where you feel that you need to change your leader, okay? That's between that leader and God. If you want to change your leader, if you want to change the person next to you, do it through goodness, okay? Can we all stand? Then the last key. And I want to quickly read to you in the Amplified Bible, James 5, verse 16. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins, and pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And if you can all close your eyes, as you all are standing here today, I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit is showing you already there's some idol in your life, not necessarily sin, that needs to die. Okay? So you can go to that next chapter. But even when God shows you what that thing is that needs to die, this James 5 is so important. Never try to do it by yourself. Always get someone that can help you with this dying to this idol. So there should be someone in your life that you can say to, listen, I've got this idol in my life and I want this to die. Would you help me? Would you pray with me? You know, even Jesus needed people to pray with him before he died on the cross. He asked the disciples to pray for him. Okay? So all of us. So if you're not at a place where you know someone that can help you, or that you think you don't need someone in your life, that's already something that needs to die, because there's already some pride in your life, because God created us all to need people, okay? But if you're standing here this morning and you know there's something that needs to die, you've been standing on this chapter for too long, you need a new chapter in your life, and you want just to indicate that to God, just raise your hand where you're at. If you want to say to God, God, I need the next chapter in my life. Something in me needs to die. Just raise your hand where you're at. Amen. Father, I thank you, God, and I pray, God, that you will see every hand, Father God. And I pray, God, that you will come and touch every one of them, Father. And I pray, God, that even as we walk out here today, Father God, I pray that you will come and show us what is that thing that needs to die, Father God, so that we can experience your goodness and your favor, Father God. We know, Father, we want, when people look at us, Father, they should see your goodness chasing us, Father God. They should see your favor. They must come to us and say, there's always this favor on your life. What do you do? And then, Father God, we can tell them it's you, Father God. It's you bringing this favor over our life, Father. And I really want to come against any condemnation, especially around the young ones here today, Father God. I pray against the spirit of condemnation. Father, I pray, God, it will be replaced by a spirit of goodness, of a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind, Father God. I pray, God, that children coming to this church, Father God, will stand out because of that three spirits that's living in them, Father. And I pray, God, that you will come and even restore, especially those people, Father, and especially standing here today, that they know they've got some hurt, Father God, because of a previous leader or a pastor or someone that hurt them, Father. And they know that they need some healing in their own life, Father God, where they can say to God, God, you've given me the best leader. And I pray, God, that you will help everyone to that place, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just, before we leave, if there's anyone, I understand the youth needs to go, but if there's anyone that needs prayer, and you're not one of the people that need to go, to please come forward. But even if the youth, if you've raised your hand today, I want to challenge you, go to another person here, even if it's at your hostel, and say, I still need to bring this idol to God, would you pray with me? Okay. Amen. Carl.